The views, ideas, and content of Well Seekers and their guests are their own opinions, and you should always seek additional professional help around any of the issues discussed here on Well Seekers.
And we're back with our guest, Dr. Kevin Reese. Kevin, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Yeah. For those that don't know you, I know that you're the only head-to-toe healer is what you're known for.
Yeah.
But tell us more about what your background is, what you do, and what the only head-to-toe healer actually means.
It means that we don't chase symptoms. That if you get healthy from head to toe, from brain to bunions, then the body will naturally heal itself unless you were born with something. But if you weren't born with something, it's not yours. And so that's what I'm trying to accomplish with my message. And that's what I do, is help people get healthy from head to toe. And that's how we have these incredible testimonials on video.
Tell us about some of those, because I was watching some of your videos before, and there are some powerful videos that you have on your site, and we'll share all your links. But tell us about the ones that stand out to you.
Well, I mean, it's always going to come back to Kim, who was 11 years ago, and she was told she was going to die in 3 months during childbirth. And she found me, and I worked with her, and the tumors disappeared, and her son is now 11 years old. And she actually just came to the studio a few weeks ago because she didn't feel like she gave me a proper testimonial, and she had a lot of gratitude. So she just finally got up the nerve 11 years later and came in and sat down right here and gave her, you know, testimonial, and Sean interviewed her. So, but we have lots. We have PCOS, we have type 2 diabetes, we have, you know, frozen shoulder, hip pain, neck pain. We have all this stuff on video, which no one's ever done, not really. And so it's one of the reasons why I'm a target.
We're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
But before we do, tell us a little bit about how you work with those conditions. What makes you different from, let's say, a chiropractor for a frozen shoulder or going to a doctor for a tumor? What is your approach and how is it different?
So head-to-toe healing is basically three what I call macro methods. So that's going to be postural therapy, that's going to be clinical nutrition, and that's going to be mindfulness training. And the three of those come together to take care of the whole body.
So is that your approach for
everything?
Everything. So everything. It doesn't matter what someone comes in with. That's the approach.
It doesn't matter. So from a macro level, it's cookie cutter. But then from a micro level, there's protocols designed for that person. So if you come to me and this gentleman over here comes to me, the method, the formula is the same between the two of you, but your protocol might be different because you might have something going on where the nutrition needs to be slightly different. And he might have something different going on where the postural therapy, corrective exercises need to be different. So it is protocol based for that person, but from a macro level, it's the formula is the same.
So once you get into the micro level, the individual, when you say it's different, is that different supplements, nutritional aspects?
Yeah.
All of the above?
Yeah. And sometimes diet. Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah.
So predominantly supplements?
Supplements are important.
Okay.
For sure. Because we can't get the proper nutrition from the food anymore. We don't know what's in it. Mm-hmm. You got to a piece of broccoli in your hand and you're like, on the package it says this, this, and this, but you don't know the soil it was grown in. Whereas supplements, as long as you have a high quality source, you know what you're getting because it was tested in a lab.
No, it makes sense.
Supplements to me is a technological advancement that we need to take advantage of. I would put it in the same category as air conditioner.
How so? Tell me about that.
Because air conditioner is a technological advancement that you wouldn't want to live without.
Mm-hmm.
And supplements are the same.
But people do live without air conditioners.
Some people do.
Yeah, and they pay the price.
They do pay the price.
In the summer when it's really humid. Although I actually rarely turn on my AC, even though I have it.
Especially if they live in a tropical area like Florida.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
So aside from our air conditioning conversation, which we could go on for forever with.
Yeah.
So you have this micro version where, I mean, this when you come in on the micro level, you look at the condition specifically, and then you create whatever that plan is in those three sort of verticals that you have.
Yeah, it's customized.
Customized.
Sure. Yep.
So tell me a bit about your background, your training. How long ago did you get into this holistic approach, and what did you do to explore? Because it sounds like this is actually something you created, these protocols.
Yeah. I started with YouTube University, just like everyone else probably, you know, because I had my own health issues going back to being about 28 years old and just trying to figure it out and finding gurus on YouTube and just figuring it all out. That motivated me to go get a certificate. So I ended up going to Florida to study detoxification. And then I enrolled into a health coaching school. And that's really where it started. Then a few years later, I just realized that people weren't taking me serious enough. And being an ambitious guy, I was like, you know, let me just get a doctorate. And I just started researching on how I could do that. I had a bachelor's degree. You know, how can I do it?
Mm-hmm.
And how can I do it without going and getting a master's?
Mm-hmm.
So I had to do a lot of research and find loopholes and all that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally found a school that would take a 34-year-old. And I did it. It was hard, but I did it.
And so when you were in school, is that when you developed, because this is unique, correct? Mm-hmm. The way that you approach all of this.
Yeah. It became unique many years later, though. It became unique about 2.5 years ago.
Tell me about that. Why?
Well, I was, the first part of my career, I was detoxing people. And so I was very much into the cleanses and all that. I've done all sorts of, I've done 100 days with no food.
Mm-hmm.
I've done I've done all sorts of things, you know.
So wait, you didn't eat food for 100 days?
Yeah, I just juiced for 100 days.
And what happened? This is a side note, but I'm going to include it. What happened? Because that's fascinating.
Yeah, nothing. I just lost weight and had a lot of energy.
You had more energy?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, were you doing it for a health reason? Or just to see if you could do it?
I think anyone that's ever explored the detox culture
mm-hmm.
will know that it's a very obsessive thing.
Yeah.
It's, you become obsessed with it, and then you start challenging yourself.
Yeah.
How long can I go? And can I get a worm out?
Did you get a worm out?
I've seen plenty of worms.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Tapeworms, whipworms.
That have come out from a detox.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you think we all have those?
Well, see, it depends. See, now knowing the body so much better than I did back then, it's a whole different answer.
Tell me that answer.
Well, it would be stomach acid. If you don't have enough stomach acid, then parasites can live. Same with fungus.
Yeah.
That's where the candida comes from.
So how do you increase stomach acid?
Well, it comes down to calcium and salt. Calcium and salt combine to make hydrochloric acid.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if someone's struggling with stomach acid issues,
they need to take more salt.
More salt.
And then, you know, some calcium would be beneficial too. Calcium is a very misunderstood nutrient. You need a lot of it because you have 200 plus bones.
So how is it misunderstood? I'm curious.
Well, a lot of people think if you take too much calcium,
yeah,
your arteries will plaque up
and yeah,
stuff like that. Or they think they can just have some cheese,
mm-hmm,
drink some milk, you know.
So would you say, I want to get back to your story, but would you say on the whole,
what's more fascinating, the story or the knowledge?
We're going to get to the story.
It could go either way.
I like to hear sort of the wider lens of your opinion on approach and just in general. Would you say nationally, what do you think our biggest issue is from everything you've learned over the years from a health perspective?
For the country?
Yeah.
Junk food.
So it's a food issue you think that's making us so sick?
Yes.
Tell me more. Yeah. How so? When you say junk food, because I feel like a lot of healthy food is actually junk food too at this point.
Yeah, junk food is almost anything with more than, say, three ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's destroying us. I mean, find me a two-year-old or a three-year-old that's not eating junk food. And then the mother has to, the mother's stuck. She's in a predicament because the sugar is like heroin. Mm-hmm. They want more and more and more and more. And so now she's stuck and it's kind of like, well, I can give them a little and then pull it back. And then, you know, and then it's, and then you hold the kid for ransom. Well, if you're good, I'll give you a cookie, but you know, and then the kid's flying off the wall. It's a bad thing. And, you know, it really takes a long time for the body to break down.
Sugar.
Sugar is one of them, but yeah, there's just junk food. There's the dyes that are in there. There's the chemicals, high fructose corn syrup, all this stuff. The body's not used to this. The human body is meant to eat one ingredient foods. You know, like a chicken breast is one ingredient. An apple is one ingredient. Fruit Loops is not one ingredient.
How do we cure something like this, though? Because it is an epidemic, I'd agree. I mean, colon cancer in young people has risen astronomically, and they're drawing that back to our food sources, right? So how do you cure something like as big as a national food supply?
Well, I'm going to try to do it through my children's franchise with Sunlight Sunny. And he's the children's health hero, and he flies around, and he's friends with three characters that are on a farm, Farmer Fred, Franny, and Victor. And we have children's music, we have actors, we have singers. And so I'm going to try to do it by fighting fire with fire, which is entertainment. And so that's what the green screen is for here in the studio.
Yeah, you can't see it if you're listening. But
yeah, and so we're gonna start a movement here of health-conscious parents and grandparents that want to reprogram their children. And so we're going to do it through health education.
Yeah.
You know, let's give them, you know, Mr. Rogers, let's give them Santa Claus, but for health. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's the only way that I can see that it can happen.
Yeah, and using entertainment for information and re-education.
Yeah, yeah.
I completely agree. I mean, I think one of the reasons Kevin and I connected for everyone listening is that's obviously my passion. So I completely agree with you. I think it's one of the only ways to do it. So if we go back to your story, Kevin, so you're in school or you've gone through your detox phase. You've gotten all your worms out.
Yeah,
you're good now. So now you go into your doctorate program. Okay. So once you're out of your doctorate program, what's the journey for you from there to?
I got burnt out and I had to stop. And I was going through a very, very deep, we'll call it a spiritual journey. I was just so deep in that realm, and I was working on myself. And I was also facing some health issues, but it was more physical at the time. It wasn't nutritional, it was more physical. And so I was trying to figure out what the problem was. That's when I discovered postural therapy, and that changed everything. It was like the missing link. And once I started learning that, and then again, I fixed my own issues, I was just so re-motivated because now I can work with bulging discs and herniated discs and frozen shoulder and hip pain and neck pain and bunions and flat feet and costochondritis. And I'm just like, whoa. Now my whole world expanded. And this is where the head-to-toe healing comes from, is just having that realization. And so that's when I was like, I want to come back out. It's like I came out of retirement type thing. I pulled a Michael Jordan. I stopped. I stopped for like 2 years and recalibrated.
Yeah.
And then came back with a very, very strategic plan, and it worked.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds, you've mentioned your health issues a couple times, and I want to dive into those a little bit more if you're willing to.
Sure.
Especially because there's a whole backstory we haven't gotten to yet that I would love for everyone to hear about. But what health issues were you facing at the time?
At that time, it was costochondritis. It was my calves clenched up. I couldn't drive for, I want to say, 3 months.
Really?
Right.
Because the muscles were so tense.
Yeah, it was dangerous to drive.
Oh my goodness.
So my mom had to drive me around.
So what was the root cause? Because I know
it
you're
was
big
my posture. It was from being what I call a computer athlete.
Yeah.
Sitting at a computer for 25 years, clanging and banging away. And I still am, by the way. And it just got out of control. I was also a meditator. So I'd sit down on a cushion, cross-legging, and I'd sit there and I'd hunch over. And it just all caught up to me. It all caught up to me. And the story is so layered. I was gone. I got accepted to a Zen monastery. I was out.
Oh, which one?
The one in New York in the mountains.
Yeah.
I was out.
So you went there?
I never made it.
Oh.
I never made it.
Because of these health conditions.
Yes.
Okay. Got it.
Yes. I had a ticket for my bus. I was accepted. I gave my deposit. I was gone, and I was going under the assumption that there's a chance I might not come back.
Yeah.
Because all I wanted was this spirituality thing. All I wanted was this present moment. That's all I wanted. It's really all I wanted.
What was it about that attracted you? Because it's interesting. Is this a part of...
I think you're just born with it.
I mean, I feel the same.
It's kind of like a karma thing. It's just you either have it or you don't. And for me, it started developing in my late 20s and it just never stopped.
Is it a part of your program as well? The mind?
Yes, we call it mindfulness training.
Yeah.
So we take the spirituality out of it and we just make it more science. But yeah, I was gone. I was gone and my health started messing up. And that's when I was like, I can't get on a bus and go to a Zen monastery. I got to fix my body here. And it was like divinity. Like, you can't go. You have to stay here. And by the way, I'm gonna send you to hell for a little bit so you can figure everything out. and then you're going to start a clinic. And it's going to be virtual. And you're going to help people all across the world. And you're going to have fans and haters all across the world. And I had to like go through the fire to get to that. It's a very weird story. It's very layered.
Well, that's what we're here for. Let's hear it.
It's going to have to be a book.
Yeah.
You know, and I was writing during the time. So, but a lot happened from 2018 to 2022. Just those 4 years were just madness.
When you say a lot happened personally.
Yeah. I went through what's called Dark Night of the Soul.
Yeah. Great book, by the way, Thomas Moore too, if you haven't read it, everyone listening.
Yeah. It's been around for eons, just the process and, different cultures have different names for it.
Yeah, for people that don't know, can you tell everyone what that is?
It's basically like you're dying.
I'd say that's accurate.
You have to face your mortality, and you have to face fear eye to eye. And you know, you cry a lot. It's uncontrollable crying. Mm-hmm. Uncontrollable because everything that's stored in you is just coming up, and it's all coming up at one time over the course of weeks and weeks. And for me, it was 7 months.
Mm.
It was 7 months. It was a long 7 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to just accept my death. I had to accept the death of my parents. I had to accept that we're not in control. And I had to go through this hell that became like heaven,
mm-hmm.
you know?
When you say your death, I mean, I'm assuming you mean from a spiritual perspective, like dying.
I thought I was going to die.
Your old self.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought I was going to die.
Yeah. And then from that, this new self emerged.
Yeah. But it was all, I remember talking to one of my mentors who wasn't my mentor at the time. I was just meeting him on a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And he mentioned Dark Night of the Soul. And it was kind of like, oh my gosh, that's what I'm going through.
Mm.
Why didn't I think of that?
Mm-hmm.
Because it makes sense, because I was working on myself for so long.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like you're on a rope and you're trying to cross a small stream or a river, and you're rocking back and forth on the rope, and the more you rock, the more you get momentum mm-hmm. to launch yourself to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're doing mindfulness training and you're working on yourself, you gain momentum. But before you can jump to the other side, you got to go through hell.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And so that's what happened to me. That's absolutely what happened. It was horrifying. Yeah.
And from that though, Kevin, it seems like what emerged was this new clinic mm-hmm. and where you are today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This, I tell people all the time, I didn't plan any of it. I mean, I sat down and planned it, but it wasn't in my plans
mm-hmm.
until it became in my plans. I was gone.
Mm-hmm.
I was out.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to become known as the guy who was a radio personality, who switched to health and did it for like 8 years and then just disappeared.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about, I think this is a good transition point into that mm-hmm. because a lot of people don't know that before this, and we share this in some way,
mm-hmm.
You were in radio.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about Kevin Reese 1.0, right? The first version, because you were in media, you were on air.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you get into radio and what was that life like?
I have no idea.
Oh, you just found your, you just wandered in.
So I was always very confused. I was always very talented, like very creative, and that sounds like a plus, but for me, it was like a minus because it made me so confused because
mm-hmm.
I was good at like 10 different things.
Mm-hmm.
And then in high school, they start applying the pressure. What are you going to do for the rest of your life?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just, you know, working with the guidance counselors, they're like, well, what do you like? I like sports. I like music. And I'm good at talking on microphones.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, broadcasting. So I ended up at the Connecticut School of Broadcasting. I was only 16 years old the summer before my senior year of high school. And I was basically a broadcasting prodigy. I went in there and I dusted everyone. Like, mm-hmm. like I was probably the second or third best in my class. And they're all old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're all like 25, 35, 45 mm-hmm. years old. I'm 16.
Mm-hmm.
And
I was going to say old to a 16 year old.
Right.
That's not old.
To a 16 year old. Right.
Yeah.
And I ended up getting an internship my senior year in high school. And I just went with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to college and I got a radio show and TV show immediately. I slaughtered it. Everyone knew me on campus,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then the ego kicks in. Now everyone calls you by your nickname and you're somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2001, I got hired at Hot 93.7 WZMX, probably, as far as we know, the youngest radio personality in Connecticut's history. He's 21 years old.
Wow.
On the radio professionally.
Mm-hmm.
A few months removed from college.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people are texting me. Texts had just come out. We have the brick phones. And I'm getting text messages on my phone like, is that really you?
Because
mm-hmm. everyone that knew me from college is just like, because Hot 93.7 was a big deal back then.
Yeah, for everyone listening in Connecticut, it still is one of the biggest stations, I think, that exists.
But back then.
Totally, because radio was a big deal.
It was like MTV landed mm-hmm. in Connecticut.
Yeah, absolutely.
We didn't have hip hop and R&B.
Yep, yep.
So it was like MTV landed in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like my college experience of becoming known on campus just spread to the whole state.
Mm-hmm.
And I became a known radio personality for a long time, 12 years.
What was that like health-wise for you? Spiritual, because you're a really spiritual guy. So spiritually, physically, mentally, how was your overall health at that time?
Well, the spirituality didn't kick in till later.
Mm.
And I mean, health-wise, I mean, not great. I mean, eating late, staying out late.
Mm-hmm.
Junk food,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
just trying to make it.
Were you happy?
Yeah, I, yes and no. I mean, I was happy because I was good at it.
Yeah.
I think anytime you're good at something,
mm-hmm.
you feel happy, but then you become disappointed if you're not making the money you want.
Mm.
And radio doesn't pay well.
Mm-hmm.
Never has, never will.
It pays well for some people.
If you're in a morning show or you get syndicated.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
I was going to say, I was on a morning show and syndicated.
Yeah, I mean, that's different.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. But
what I did is I was given a Saturday night slot.
Yeah.
I turned it into a show.
Mm-hmm.
I made it very popular.
Mm-hmm.
But I only got paid for the, you know, I paid gas money.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
But yet people are, you know, yelling my name in the street.
Mm-hmm.
So there became an equity.
Mm-hmm.
And that drained me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I never had money. It was very hard. Mm-hmm. Very hard. Mm-hmm. I lived with my parents for way too long. Way too long.
They probably loved it.
It was flat out survival.
Mm-hmm.
And I never could muster up the courage to go get a job because I was really good at this.
Yeah, well, you had a job. It just wasn't lucrative in the way that you wanted it to be and right. what you deserved, it sounds like, as well.
People will still say this, I was the best there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was...
Mm-hmm.
I was slaughtering it because mm-hmm. I was hustling to get interviews. The guy that's on once a week isn't supposed to be getting interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And so the full-timers were hating on me because mm-hmm. they're like, they're going to the program director like, how is this guy getting these interviews? And mm-hmm. the program director's like, he's getting them on his own.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You were hustling.
I was hustling.
Totally.
I was hustling. That's how I ended up with Drake, Nicki Minaj, all these people.
Mm-hmm.
And then I knew how to video edit.
Mm.
And that gave me a superpower
mm-hmm.
that none of my coworkers had.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a quick story.
Yeah.
All right. I'm living in Farmington at the time.
Beautiful town.
I get a call from my DJ partner, DJ Big Man. He says, you need to come to the radio station 50 cents here. I got us an interview. Okay. Boom.
We should just tell everyone that 50 Cent lived in Farmington as well.
Yeah, for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So I rush to the radio station and 50 Cent is interviewing with everyone. He's taking turns interviewing with everyone at the radio station.
Mm-hmm.
So I get there and we get the interview. It's only about 10, maybe 12 minutes. Great interview. We do good. I go back to my apartment, I edit it, and I blast it out to all the blogs. Inside of 30 minutes, this thing is viral. Super viral. That evening, I get a phone call from my program director. What the hell are you doing? Who, you know, like, what are you doing? I'm getting so much heat. You're viral. And all the interviews that he did with everyone else, nobody's hearing them. And you got no Hot 93.7 imaging on it. You got no, it's just K Dubas is running this and DJ Big Man.
Was that your name?
Yeah.
Amazing.
So that's just an example. But did I do anything wrong? Not technically. I just out-hustled everyone. And I knew how to video edit. And I was constantly getting my work to go viral.
So things, it seems like things were going well other than the
Besides money, aspect. Yeah.
So what happened, Kevin? Where you went from, you know, that journey to ultimately leaving radio? What happened?
Well, the health concerns happened in my late 20s.
What were those?
It was mostly heart. I had to go through a lot of tests and all that. And that's when I discovered the medical monopoly and realized how crazy the system is. And yeah, I just, like I told you earlier, I ended up going to school and studying, and that was all parallel while I was on the radio.
Oh, so you were in school while you were on the radio?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. So you had sort of a enlightenment moment where you said, I need to take control of my health while you were on the radio.
Yes.
And then you tried to but you were transitioning out and you were still on the radio.
Yeah, I lost a lot of weight and a lot of my coworkers were asking me how I transformed in front of everyone's eyes in 6 weeks. And they were just like, what's going on? And I started coaching them. And that gave me the spark of maybe I should do this. I always wanted to be a teacher. And something we left out of the story is I ended up back at the Connecticut School of Broadcasting to become a teacher. And I worked my way up to becoming the director. So now I'm running a whole school. So that's when I ended up getting my money. And I was still on the radio once a week. And then the radio station started hating on me because I couldn't fill in anymore.
Because you're busy.
You know the system. If you're a good part-timer, they want you to fill in.
Yeah, for sure.
Run the board. And I'm just like, no, I gotta.
You have other things.
I got a full-time job over there. But I was still getting the big interviews. And because I developed a reputation. The record labels wanted my show to be involved.
Yeah.
So I was in a really weird situation where I created this thing that was rising fast, but it wasn't good for the radio station per se. It was great for me and it created a thing. But yeah, I fell in love with holistic health and I fell out of love with radio. Anyone that tracks my career, and I don't expect anyone to do that, but you could see a difference. If you look at 25-year-old Kevin on the radio, and you look at 30-year-old Kevin on the radio, my speech patterns, everything changed. And I changed my name to Kevin W. Reese. I was K. Dubasis running this for 10 years.
I mean, it's a great radio name, though.
Well, I wanted to be different. So I came with the syllables.
You accomplished it.
It's a jingle.
It's amazing, especially for your station.
You're right.
Yeah.
My first program director told me it sounded like a disease. He's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, well, I'm just trying to stand out and make it, you know, it's K Dubasis running this, you know. And eventually I walked into my program director's office and I said, I want to change my name to Kevin W. Reese. And he's like, everyone knows you as K Dubasis. Why would you do that? I'm like, I'm just going in a different direction. He's like, all right. So I did that. But I knew I was either going to merge in the like a top 40 or a talk radio vibe, or mm-hmm. I was going to leave totally.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted my name to get some credibility instead of Kate Dubas's running this, which I knew would make no sense when I'm 40.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So fast forward, Kevin, because it seems like you outgrew that part of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And grew.
Totally.
Yeah.
And I couldn't stay. I felt like a clown.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to put it without sounding like someone that people don't like, but I'm a genius. I don't know how any other way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on the radio talking about Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the heck am I doing? My brain is not being put to proper use.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had different shows.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that drastic, but I totally do understand. Even just sort of the celebrity, because I did a lot of celebrity interviews. And
and
there's nothing wrong with that, right?
No.
It's just you ache for a little bit more sometimes, like, and to have a message that actually really transforms people's lives. Because I think you probably recognize what I feel at least, which is media has power.
Yes.
And you had a greater capability is what I'm hearing you say. So
But your style and my old style are totally different. You're journalistic.
Mm-hmm.
Mine was being a clown.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mine was about making people smile and laugh. I did things. I ruined my social life because I had it in my head that I was a shock jock.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I went out with a girl or something and something happened, I would bring that story to the airwaves.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, I would get a phone call from that woman being like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
you know,
course.
I would totally just, it didn't matter as long as I got the laugh
mm-hmm.
and it was recorded.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't care. And that's where my mind was at.
Yeah.
And so you can see the change happen through the years.
Mm-hmm.
And then the speech patterns changed and I started getting more journalistic.
Mm-hmm.
And then I changed my name. You know, everything, you can just see it, the change
mm-hmm.
happen. And then once I found the health thing, I just felt like I found what I was looking for. So that's something that I tell young people, like, what you love at 20 might not be what you love at 30.
Oh, it's definitely not going to be. And then at 30 to 40 and 40 to 50. I mean, we're meant to evolve and change, right?
Yep. But I knew I wanted to be a teacher because when I taught at the Connecticut School of Broadcasting, I loved it.
Mm.
I really loved it. I'm not talking about the subject
because mm-hmm.
obviously I changed the subject. But the standing in a classroom with a whiteboard and having everyone take the teaching, execute it, and come back and be like, wow, it really worked. And mm-hmm. it's a really powerful feeling.
So let's talk more about today, Kevin Reese today. Fast forward this incredible journey from career to another career to another career, right? You've really evolved, which again is how we grow. So it is a beautiful journey. Today, I know you started off this interview by saying you were really controversial. Tell me about that. Because I went and watched your videos. I do feel like there's some comments where people are like, is this true, essentially? Like questioning the validity. Is that the controversy you're talking about?
There's a lot of controversies.
Tell us all.
I wouldn't even know where to start. I mean, I get attacked by medical doctors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm called a quack, charlatan, snake oil salesman.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite is fake doctor. That's the one that I've really adopted. It's becoming my nickname.
Fake doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's still a little shock jock here.
Mm-hmm. I think you're just taking the negative and turning it into a positive.
Well, there's such a high level of mindfulness here now
mm-hmm.
that I just genuinely don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care what people think.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that people can see that.
Yeah.
And I've realized that my people have to go through the fire to become my people. And I tell my clients and even my supporters all the time, if you want to support me and you want to spread the word about me, I am going to be your mindfulness training right there, because you're going to go to a family barbecue, or you're going to send a video of me to one of your friends, and you're going to get something back that you don't want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have to face the approval seeking,
mm-hmm.
and you have to face the heat.
Mm-hmm.
So I am your device
mm-hmm.
for mindfulness training, because I am going to be a 50-50 polarized guy. There's no way around it.
Tell me a little bit more about that, because we've talked before, Kevin and I, and you know, there are some things that I've said to you, like, I disagree with that, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
But some of the stuff is spot on. Like, we were talking earlier about your gluten video.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is it very specific topics that people feel polarized on? Because some of it just feels like fact. Does that make sense, Kevin?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. There's so much that comes out of this mouth, it's hard to keep up with.
Okay, so that's what it is. It's like sometimes there's just so many different issues in that you're talking about. Sorry, yeah, someone is here helping us record, and I think he just started laughing.
I'm here to trigger people.
Yeah. With what you know to be true.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm here to trigger people, and I want people to genuinely stay if they want to stay, and I mm-hmm. want people to genuinely leave if they want to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And if they want to call me a quack or a fake doctor, I'm totally cool with it.
Mm-hmm.
Bring it. I love it.
Who are your people? If someone's listening and they're like, I'm curious about what he's talking about, but I'm not sure if I'm one of those people. Who are your people? Who needs what you have?
My people know that the medical system is rigged
mm-hmm.
and flawed and dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And my people know or are learning that they can heal themselves through head-to-toe healing. And also, they feel a sense of peace listening to me.
Mm.
And that's how I sum it up in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the people that aren't my people
yes.
are going to think I'm talking out of my butt
mm-hmm.
or a charlatan, like I'm just trying to get people's money,
mm-hmm.
you know, things like that, or I'm just making stuff up or whatever. Some people call me dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's where the death threats come and all that. So I'm here for it.
Yeah, no, you definitely are.
I'm having a ball.
That's one of the things I do just love about you, is that you are here for it. And mm-hmm. you're totally aware that some people don't agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, that's okay. Even when I said something about one of Kevin's videos, he was like, that's okay. Like, I still think what I think. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like I said earlier, I went through 7 months of hell.
Mm-hmm.
There's not much worse than that. And in those moments when I decided to come back out as Dr. Reese, I knew that this was going to happen. And I had to look at myself in the mirror and look myself in the eye and say, are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
If you jump out there, you're going to become famous
mm-hmm.
and you're going to become notorious and you're going to become something in the health field, very big and very powerful, and it's going to be split.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready, essentially, to die for this?
Mm.
And the answer was yes.
It's powerful, Kevin.
So I went through with it. So I'm here to die, basically. And I'm okay with it.
Not literally.
Not literally. I don't care.
Let's not tempt people. let's not tempt
just,
them.
I'm just
He means figuratively, everyone. Loves.
It's just, it's such a fun journey.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a fun journey to see people healing and to see people waking up and to be where I am from where I was. It's very mesmerizing. It's very, like, there's no way that it's not divine. There's no way it's not.
Hmm.
When you see the story as a timeline, you know, it's just, whoa, it's crazy. And there's not too many people in this world, if any, I don't know, that completely switch careers. I mean, you got someone like, say, Will Smith,
mm-hmm.
who was a rapper and then a TV star and then a movie star, but that's still all in alignment of entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dwayne Johnson, same thing,
mm-hmm.
right? But to see someone completely go opposite direction, I mean, completely opposite direction. I didn't know what a psoas muscle was 15 years ago. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I didn't know what, you know, the 90 essential nutrients were, you know? How could this come to my brain? How could any of this happen from chasing down, you know, Nas for an interview? Like,
mm-hmm.
how could any of this happen from, you know, talking about gossip mm-hmm. on the radio? It's just, it's astounding to figure it out and see how this everything has slowed down, you know, because I used to be high energy, yelling.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just comes way down. Just way down. It's just the level just comes way down.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So,
and then I shouldn't even be here. I should be at a Zen monastery.
I mean, we all should be at a Zen monastery. Honestly, we all could benefit
looking at
from
a wall. Looking at a wall.
Kevin, I want to be respectful of your time. If people want, because I know that you have a program, Kevin has books. Tell us a little bit about, if someone wants more information, we're going to have all your links. But what's the best way to get started if they're curious about what you have to offer?
Well, I guess you can just go to an Instagram page or a TikTok page, you know.
Okay. Yeah, we'll definitely share those
links. I guess you just go there. I mean, to end up in our program, it's a journey.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody just jumps in.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't tell anybody about our program. You just know it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so hidden behind the scenes. It's so secretive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we want the right people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want the right people. So
we'll have to have you come back and talk more about knowledge, because I know this was mostly story, but there's so many other questions I have from mm-hmm. a knowledge base.
I also have a Rumble channel now. And so really, really doubling down on that. I think Rumble is the future.
Mm-hmm.
I think YouTube is, you know, heading towards censorship. So, you know, we're really putting a lot of stuff on Rumble right now and being nice and free about it. But yeah, I guess if anyone wants to start out with me, they gotta sip very slow, very slow. Do not take a full shot of Dr. Reese. You'll collapse.
I think Kevin is a slow sip.
Yes, it's a slow sip.
It's a slow sip. Yeah, but you'll enjoy the sip.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's never painful.
Well, you know, some people get mad at me just the way I talk.
Yeah. Your pace.
Yeah, or mm-hmm. or the pauses and things and,
mm-hmm.
and it's amazing how much hate comes this way, and it's just so beautiful. I love it.
Well, if you want to find out more about Kevin, we'll have all his links, his Instagram, yeah. His Rumble. We'll make sure to include that as well. Kevin Reese, thanks so much. Dr. Kevin Reese, thanks
Thank
so much for being on, and we'll have you back again.
Okay, Dubis is running this.
We'll have him back on as well.
How would you like to join the conversation? email us anytime at hello@wellseekers.com.